Chapter 14, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 14. What a great chapter this is. This chapter teaches us some things that, you know, a lot of folks get all twisted up and messed up. There's folks today that say in order to be saved, you got to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to be baptized, and you got to speak with tongues. Honestly, there are folks who will tell you that. And if you don't speak with tongues, or you haven't been baptized, and by the way, some of those folks say you got to be baptized with the right formula. Did you know that? You can't say, I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then it's wrong. You got to do it again. And they will tell you it's in the name of Jesus, nothing else. And seriously, I'm very serious. You know, you have all those things that are there. But 1 Corinthians 14, though we see tongues here, it really teaches us something, I think, far greater than that. And that is that we come together as a church for a tremendous purpose. And that purpose is to edify each other. That purpose is to build each other. Why? Because we need it. Huh? How many had a rough week last week? Don't raise your hand. How many, as long as it wasn't your boss, you're okay. Okay. Did anybody have a rough week last week? I'm serious. Are you sure you did? All right, some of you did. Some of you did and you don't remember. That's another neat thing about getting older. Did you have a bad day yesterday? I don't know. Don't remember. I'm telling you, you got to look at the positive things, right? But we edify each other. And this chapter really deals with that and how we can do that successfully. There's some things to be done, as he teaches us here, decently and in order. And they all have a purpose. Well, let's just take a gander at this whole chapter. And there's 40 verses. And let me see here. Let's start in verse 1. We'll read a few of these, maybe all of it. Notice what it says. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Is that something you need? Sure. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. By the way, did you notice that little phrase there, with tongues, except he interpret? That'll teach us what tongues are. Amen? Languages. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Let's just stop there and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the privilege of this, your word. I pray you might teach us from it tonight. I pray, oh God, that you might open our hearts, give us understanding. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you drop down with me, notice verse number 29. Interesting little verse. It says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Isn't that interesting? God says there needs to be some judgment upon this. In other words, if the Holy Spirit of God lays something upon the heart of an individual and they tell it to their church, It needs to be judged by the Word of God. For that is the standard that we have. We have learned in previous chapters, maybe we haven't, but it's there, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God are to the churches and they are for their edification. If you go back to chapter 12 and notice verse number 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit withal." God has given to us these abilities that everyone might profit. And so we have many different gifts to the church. And people in this church have different abilities. They have different gifts that you give back to others. I mentioned this morning at the end of the service something about that some people have the gift of faith. And everybody's to have faith, amen? Everybody ought to have that. There's a gift of discernment. Everybody ought to have that. But to some, God gives greater ability. What's its purpose? To help others to long for it and to develop their own. We're all to be maturing in the Lord. Amen? And so if we have somebody that can be a role model in certain areas, that is very helpful for us. And so we find here that there is also given to the church this thing of tongues. They're a gift to the church, but I might say this today, not the unknown tongue. There's something interesting. There's only 6 verses in all the Bible that use that term, unknown tongue. It's in the singular. It doesn't say tongues, but it just says unknown tongue. And all of those 6 times are right here in this chapter. I want us to look at them just kind of particularly for a few moments. And we notice, first of all, that they are only profitable to the one who knows that tongue. Now, if tongues are language, which I believe it is, it's only profitable to the fellow who knows that particular language. He that speaketh in verse 2 in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Verse number 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. See? Well, who's going to understand him if it's unknown? Well, God knows everything. Okay? And hopefully the guy that's using it knows what it is. They're the only ones going to be profited by it. When we come to church, what are we supposed to do? We're to come to church to help each other profit. We're to edify each other. There needs to be that profitability. And by the way, that's not just my job. That's not just a job description for the pastor. That is a job description for every child of God that walks inside their local church. We are to what? Be profitable to each other. We are to be a blessing to each other. We are to what? Edify each other in any way we know how. Right? So we learn that, first of all, it's only profitable to those who know it. And those who don't know it, why, it's not of any value. It is to be profitable. Then, if it is to be profitable, then it must be interpreted. Notice verse number 13 of the chapter. We didn't get that far, but it says, "Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." Well, go to verse number 27. Notice what he says there. If a man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2 or at the most by 3, and that by course, and let one do what? Interpret. So if somebody comes in, they speak in a tongue that nobody else knows here, then there must be somebody who is what? Interpreting that tongue, that language. Okay? Once in a while, we'll have somebody, a missionary, will come and they will speak in the language they are used to, just so that we can understand it. But what do they do when they get done? They tell you what they just said. That's the way that it ought to be. Amen? Now, if we already know English, why in the world would we come in and tell somebody in Spanish when we can tell them in English? Other than we're going to make a little demonstration like a missionary does. And so here we have this situation that God wants us to understand. It's to be profitable. If it's unknown to the one speaking, then it's not profitable to them either. If I pray in an unknown tongue, verse 14, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I'm jabbering away, but I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, that's something else we do when we get old. It's wonderful, I'm telling you what. I heard one guy, he said, you can tell a person gets old because they have a hard time getting the rocking chair started. I don't know why I'm on this old stuff tonight. unknown tongues, I don't believe, are a gift of the Holy Spirit of God. If no one can interpret them, because they are not edifying. And as I mentioned a while ago, that unknown tongue, it's in the singular, while the gift is always in the plural. An unknown tongue is basically gibberish, while tongues are languages that can be understood and bring edification. That was a verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Listen to this verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so some people come along and they say, well, that is the Spirit of God speaking in tongues. Well, he calls it groanings, and he said should not or cannot be uttered. Why do we want to classify that way? And it's groanings of the Spirit. It's not ours. By the way, have you ever been so intent in prayer and you were praying in your heart and your mind and you just kind of groaned? You weren't saying anything out loud, but if somebody was listening, they would think, what is going on with them? And to me, that's what it's saying when we look at Romans 8:26. Well, as we go through this chapter, I believe we need to just stop and think about it in the setting. Chapter number 12, we find that God gave gifts to the people in their churches, and it was for its edification. Those gifts were for edification. In chapter number 13, we call that sometimes the great love chapter. And here's a chapter sandwiched in here, and what he's saying here is that if you and I don't use our gifts in love, they're not going to be effective. They must be in love. Do you understand tonight that if you rebuke somebody and you do it in a nasty way without love in your heart, it is not going to do any good? I've heard people say, well, you just ought to tell them off. Not until you can do it in love. It won't do any good. And how God wants us to understand that. Using gifts in love means speaking intelligently and orderly. And we notice now as we come to this chapter, edification has a purpose that propels us in that direction. Prophecy, he told us in verses 1 through 5, is better than an unknown tongue because it edifies. Unless that unknown tongue can be interpreted. He prophesies. He gives forth the truth of God. Sometimes we think of prophecy as just that which is telling or foretelling the future. But prophecy is not only foretelling, it's forthtelling. As we give forth the truth of God's Word. Actually, edification will not come unless God has revealed something to us through special understanding and study. Notice verse number 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by, what's that word? Revelation. Does God through study reveal things? Amen. By revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. What I look at when I see verse number 6 is that if we do not have something involved, and I just use the word study, before time, it's not going to be profitable. Some people say, well, the trick to preaching is just get up there, open your mouth, and let God fill it and let her loose. And I've heard that and I've done that. I want to tell you something, it doesn't do the job. There must be that which is behind it. Something unknown through special understanding and study has some benefit. You and I can benefit from that which we did not know. We've studied, now we know it, and now we can give it to somebody else. And we can do so with distinction and with the power of God and see God work and bless. Edification comes with understanding. Go down to verse number 13 with me. We stopped in verse 10, so let's read verse number 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. For so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. What's its purpose? To edify. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. If it's unknown to the church, it needs to be interpreted, or it's no value. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. If it's unknown to the person, it needs to be interpreted. What good are words? What good is gibberish? What good is sound that we do not understand? So it becomes very important that we, what? Understand what is being said. If the church doesn't understand it, then it shouldn't be said. Let's read verse 15. I'm going to read a few verses. It says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. That says something about music. It's not just so we can tap our foot and sway to the music and get all tied up in that way. It's to have what? Understanding. We look at Ephesians, we find the filling of the Spirit of God, and what's it say? That we might teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They have a purpose in that. Now somebody tell me, where was I at? Verse number 15. Verse 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. By the way, Paul was a linguist. He knew several languages. And as far as I know, that's all he means here. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children, understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. What's he saying? Grow up. We need to understand what is being said. And so a lot of folks, they come along and they say, well, listen, there's the gift of tongues. And if you have that gift of tongues, you just roll out all these things. You don't know what you're saying. Nobody else knows what you're saying, but you feel so good. By the way, have you ever seen people who are in a demonic state under the influence of demons and they do the exact same thing? And they have those feelings. Interesting as you think about it. Well, God has some specific purpose for tongues and prophecy. Notice verse 21. In the laws written, with men of other tongues and other lips, will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now we get very technical here, and he's talking about with men of other tongues and other lips. What he's saying, people with other languages are going to come and speak to my people. Who is his people? The Israelites. And he says, yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, he says, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Well, tongues, we find here, are for particularly unbelieving Jews. Do Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49 says, "The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand." He said, this is what will happen when you get away from me and I judge you. In Isaiah 28, he says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said," and this is what it's directly referring back to, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear him." Do you understand something? Tongues were a sign to the unbelieving Jew, and it was really saying to that Jew, judgment is coming upon you. Interesting when you look at it in its text. The early church, that was true. But something happened in A.D. 70, and Titus came and leveled the city of Jerusalem. And we find that judgment came upon the Israelites. And we don't find any biblical evidence of speaking in tongues after that. Matter of fact, we don't find it throughout history until the early 20th century. And so people went back and revived it. This sign wasn't for the lost, but those who professed to know the Lord, and yet they did not believe in Him. Prophecy is really for the lost, and it is useful in getting that lost person to see his sinful condition and to repent. So God has purposes for these things. Let's go on, verse 26. And actually, there's one place I was really going with this whole thing. Verse number 26 says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto what? Edifying." Okay, so we come together and we have some things to say. But God then says, wait a minute, there's some restrictions. "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by what? Two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret." So if there's some folks there with that which is not known to others, then it should not be more than three. Two or three, and then there must be an interpreter. But if there be no interpreter, what? "Let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God." If he doesn't know the language of the people and he feels like God wants him to say something, he needs to know there's an interpreter present that will interpret for him that he might speak to those people. My first trip to Mexico, Brother Steve Ziner wanted me to preach. And so it was in this little building. And actually, it was my second trip. But anyways, it was in this little building about the size of a garage. It was about 24 by 24. And they would pack 100 Mexicans in that place. And they had these little benches, and they had their lighting system was really something else. It was wires through the ceiling with a bulb that hanged down here and there. And he said, "Now, when you get up there," he said, "just say a few things and then stop and then let me speak. And then you continue on." And he said, "Don't go too far. I won't be able to keep up with you." I want to tell you something. Speaking an unknown tongue to some people and have an interpreter is not easy to do. Say half a sentence and wait for somebody to say it in another language and keep your thought. I was all over the map. It was very difficult. But yet, Brother Steve covered for me nicely, thankfully, and was able to do it. But God says when that happens, there shouldn't be more than two or three. And then we notice, as we've gone down there a little farther, did I read verse 28? Yes. Verse number 29, we mentioned a while ago, "Let the prophet speak two or three." And he talks about those with the tongues, and now those who are prophets, two or three. Next time I go to a preacher's conference and they have five guys speaking, I'm going to show them this verse. "Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge." So when they've studied, they give that thing, then we need to judge it according to Scripture. "If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace." For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. God has purpose with this. And God wants this to be done in an orderly fashion. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, you have control the whole time. It's not gibberish that just comes forth that you have no control over. Say, preacher, this don't sound like what's going on in much of our world today where they do all this stuff. No, it doesn't, because they're not following the Bible guidelines. Notice verse 33. God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Peace. As in all churches of the saints, God wants it in an orderly fashion that we might be able to follow along, that we might be able to gain from it. You got to forgive me for this one. It's kind of personal. I read this verse, I think we should never sing in rounds in a church. I get so confused. This bunch is singing one thing, this bunch is singing that. We get out to camp and they do that once in a while, and I'm thinking, who is doing what and what is being said? And I wanted to say to Mother Mark Gray, the Bible says God's not the author of confusion. I'm confused right now. I haven't done that yet. But then notice verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now the context, let's understand this. The context is speaking in front of the church. It is instructing the church. It's edifying the church. Does that mean when the speaker is speaking, the woman can't say amen, she can't do anything? I don't think that's it. She's not to be teaching. But we do find from the Word of God that the older women are to teach the younger women. So there is a time of teaching. We find that women have a responsibility to teach their children. We do find there's some areas. But they are not to be the preacher in the church. That's all it says. You say, why can't they? This is going to sound chauvinistic. Because a man who's a man doesn't want to listen to a woman telling him what to do. And all the men should have said, amen. That, by the way, was Springer theology. The women are commanded to learn, but they're not to be teaching of that. I believe there is a reason for that, and it goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. He said in verse 36, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. He said, listen, if you're one of those that can teach, then you need to understand that what I have given you is God's Word. And then he says, you know, if somebody doesn't want to listen, there's nothing you do. If a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done how? Decently and in order. God wants us to be orderly. Who's disorderly? Who causes disruption? Who destroys? Who disrupts? Is it God? Or is it Satan? And so we come together and we try to do things to what? Edify, to build. To strengthen each other. To be a blessing to each other. And a missionary called me Friday at, he said, brother, can I come to your church? And I forget where his place was. And he says, I just want to be a blessing to your church. I always get tickled when they say it just like that. But anyway, that goes way back to Brother Blue and me. And anyways, he said that to me. And I thought to myself, you know, that's just what he wants to do. Just be a blessing. Now, I know he's looking for a blessing, but when a missionary comes with that prospect, what a blessing this is. And thank God we've had many men who've come our way just with that and want to bless hearts and just whatever needs to be done. Amen? Let all things be done decently and in order. That's God's way. Very simple. How's God want us to accomplish it? Well, not with a whole lot of confusion. It kind of boils down to this, the KISS method. Keep it simple. My daughter says the second S means and short. I always use the word stupid, but keep it short, stupid. Talk to myself. But it's what? Keep it so we can understand. You study hard. You try to get things so people can see Scripture. I hope that I've helped you understand these Scriptures. I hope that you look at this and maybe not as confused on the tongues issue as so many people are. And to realize what it's really all about and so forth. And from that, we might be built. We might be stronger. We might be able to stand all the tests and all the things that are out there. Amen? We come together to build each other. Now, you want to know how to come to church? Here's the mistake of the average American. I'm going to go to church and see what I can get. And see what they have to offer me. Rather than going to church to see what I can offer those who are there. Roseanne, I still think about Gertrude a lot. What a saint. She's in glory. You know, she hadn't thought about us. How long has she been dead? Whatever. You know, it's been quite a few years. Some people say, does she worry about us? I don't think she's thinking about us at all. She's with the Lord. She's in perfection. But there was something about that lady. She always came to church with the idea of somehow being a blessing to somebody. She called me up one time, Q, I've said this before. If you've been around a while, you've got to have to listen to stories over and over, and you just say, smile, and you say, oh, isn't that nice? She called me up one day. It was easier to talk to her on the phone because she had this big loud thing on her earphone, so I could talk to her and she could hear me. And she says, you probably wonder why I come and I joke around so much. I said, no, I hadn't really thought about it. She said, well, there's a reason I do that. She did it on purpose. She said, there's people who come to church, they've had a hard week, and they just need to relax and laugh. And if I can do something or say something that helps them to laugh, amen. And I'll tell you, she knew how to do it. I walked down the aisle one day. She's sitting at the piano, and she raises up a gun, a squirt gun, and shoots me. I don't know why that took place. There's a story behind it. And she hit me. And she goes, ah, I didn't think I could hit you. Everybody there laughed. She accomplished her job. Probably never shot a squirt gun in her life. Maybe she's at home and practice. I don't know. But that was the deal. You know, if we come with that idea, it is amazing how we go home more blessed. Joe, you remember the old guy? Now that you've all been blessed by her, he was in the county home. Was that his name? And his mouth always kind of hung open. Slobbers came out all the time. And we go up and see him. And I don't even know why I went in the room, because we'd walk in the room, he'd be looking at her the whole time. Slobbers get a little bit worse, I think, and he'd just be looking at her, and we'd talk to him a little bit, and he just loved her. And we went to be a blessing to him. But every time we walked out of there, we thought, wow. There were times we didn't really want to go. Times have been more convenient to do something else. And walked out of there with a great blessing. I'd forgot his name, John. First comes in my mind, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. And God used that old man to bless our hearts over and over. He could hardly talk in his last days. And yet there was that smile that was kind of wrinkled on his face. And he couldn't take his eyes off of her. What a blessing. Those are the things we do when we come together. Amen. And be a blessing to each other. Because I guarantee you there's folks that are hurting. But by the way, if you're hurting and you come with that same aspect, you'll be amazed at how that will enhance you. Father tonight, work in our hearts, bless. Help us understand the great purpose of your churches is to, we might edify each other, we might help each other. Lord, you've brought us together for a reason. And that we might lift each other up. Lord, we live in a dark world. We live in an age that's fast going to hell. Lord, we look at our nation, we grieve. We look at the news and we wonder, what's he going to do next? We wonder sometimes about what's going to be like in just a few months or a few years. And sometimes fears come and all these things. But, oh God, your people, and how we can gather together and lift each other up and remind each other that Jesus is coming. And all will be well. How we can remind each other that there's a great reward for those who give their life for Christ. How those 21 men on the shores of the Mediterranean understood that in their relatives. Lord, bless us. Work in our hearts. Lord, whatever the need might be tonight, as we give invitation, we might respond to that. Allow you to work in our hearts. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. Go ahead. I'm glad you didn't see my hand motion before you played the second verse. What a beautiful song it is. I need thee every hour. Amen. All righty. Hey, you know what? Church ain't over. Did you know that? Because now you got a job to do. You know what your job is? I'm in preach mouth the whole hour. You have a responsibility to edify somebody. Okay? Do you know that that's why we shake hands? Because when you shake hands like a pump, that's jacking up something. All right? And they get higher and higher. Amen? So go do that. Amen?